From KCRW, this is Greater LA. I'm Steve Chiotakis with a show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Today, we're climbing into a mobile medical van parked outside of a homeless shelter in Long Beach. Inside, a wiry, soft-spoken shelter resident named George Godfrey is getting a checkup.
How you doing this morning?
Dude, I'm doing great, Mr. Godfrey. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
How's this place treating?
Ben Koska, a physician's assistant for the nonprofit Healthcare in Action, pulls up Godfrey's chart on an iPad.
Now, let's see. I understood that you went to the podiatrist, which is the foot specialist.
Yes, foot specialist.
How did that go?
It went great.
Yeah?
It went great. He cut my nails and stuff and cleaned my feet, and I got to go back in 2 months.
Wonderful, because I remember you were having that very sensitive spot.
Yeah, it's still sensitive. He's trying to clean it to where I got a coin where they cut my toe off for the cancer.
Koska practices street medicine, a growing healthcare field that allows doctors to meet and treat unhoused residents where they live. Popularized during the pandemic, mobile medical teams like this one are becoming a lot more common in L.A., and as KCRW's Zoe Matthew explains, changing state regulations are making it easier for them to provide care to LA's most vulnerable.
A simple trip to the doctor's office can be a time-consuming or even risky affair for people who live outside or in a shelter.
Every day, your primary thought is, where am I going to eat today? How will I get my clothes clean? How will I wash my hands? Where will I use the bathroom today? And how do I have to time that?
Cindy Manginelli is the Director of Community Engagement for the National Healthcare for the Homeless Council.
When life is full of tiny little detail questions like that, then it can be certainly overwhelming to think about, oh, and what am I going to do about this wound I have?
As a result, many people experiencing homelessness don't seek healthcare at all. Despite the fact that most unhoused Californians are eligible for the state's free insurance program, fewer than a third of those enrolled have ever seen their primary care provider. But living outdoors and in shelters is hard on the body, and waiting until health issues turn serious can result in things like extended emergency room visits or mild conditions that become life-threatening. In LA County, the life expectancy for an unhoused person is around 30 years shorter than that of someone who is housed. Health issues can also make it much harder to get housed.
We see a lot of people that their health is what has resulted in homelessness, and their health issues also are what keep them from being able to get back on their feet again.
To break down barriers to medical care, street medicine teams try to meet unhoused people where they are, providing treatment and exams in the field and at mobile clinics. In Los Angeles, a number of these teams cropped up during the early days of the pandemic, when federal funding flowed freely. Back then, they were mostly focused on providing vaccines and COVID treatment. As that need waned, some tried to expand their practices to address the many other pressing medical needs they saw on the streets. But they faced challenges getting reimbursed by insurance, says Brett Feldman, co-founder of the street medicine program at USC's Keck School of Medicine.
When you bill Medi-Cal or Medicare, you bill for what you did and where you did it, which is the place of service code. And there was no place of service code to indicate the street. So even though what we were doing was fully reimbursable, because of where we were doing it, we couldn't get reimbursed.
Recently, that changed. In November, the state made it easier for many street medicine providers to bill for their services. New benefits also make it easier for them to act as patients' primary care providers. Feldman says the results have been promising.
Already, these policies have just absolutely exploded the number of street medicine programs in the state. We did a California landscape analysis on street medicine this past summer. At the time, there was 26 street medicine programs that we knew of. Now, I know of 45 and seem to be finding new ones almost every day. I just found another one yesterday.
In LA, he's watched the number of teams double from 6 to 12 in just a matter of months. Having a more reliable source of funding has allowed street medicine teams to visit with clients more regularly. And some are even beginning to offer more specialized care, like gynecological services or treatment for chronic illnesses like HIV. In Long Beach, the Healthcare in Action team drives around making visits to encampments and shelters 5 days a week. They specialize in treating older adults, one of the fastest growing populations of unhoused Angelenos. When Ben Koska started with the team in February, he was seeing patients out of the back of his own pickup truck. Now, they have a specially outfitted Sprinter van stocked with supplies.
It has everything that a normal medical clinic would have inside. We have an EKG machine, we have an ultrasound, a centrifuge if we need to draw a lab and spin them down before we take them to the lab. We also have a lot of point-of-care devices, so we can check hemoglobin for anemia, hemoglobin A1C for diabetes. We can do point-of-care hepatitis C, HIV testing.
Koska met George Godfrey 7 months ago, while Godfrey was staying in a Project Room Key motel set up to provide emergency housing during the pandemic. Before that, getting to doctor's appointments was a literal pain for the 60-year-old Long Beach native. He doesn't have a car and uses a cane to get around due to knee issues and an arm he lost as the result of a childhood injury.
I be in pain, I hurt, I can't get around and do some of the things that I would like to do because it's like I'm getting slower.
Now, the team drives their clinic to meet him for regular checkups. Even though he's moved to a different Long Beach shelter, they can coordinate transportation if he needs to see a specialist or bring specialists with them. Today, occupational therapist Rachel Kent is along for the ride.
I'm gonna get you another shower chair like you had at the other spot.
Okay, thank you.
Is that helpful?
Yes, it was.
Okay, great.
Because I was able to sit down, I showered, standing up is rough.
I know.
I'm barely able to stand, my legs are getting weak.
I hear you, and then in the shower it's slippery.
It's slippery, yeah.
Exactly, okay.
It's pretty hectic. Mm-hmm.
Other staff members keep in close contact with patients to help connect them with social services. Some of them have experienced homelessness themselves, which Koska says helps to build trust.
They have a unique skill in working with this population, whether it's their own personal experience or a family member or a long history in this industry. And they are our secret sauce.
LA's growing network of street medicine providers is also getting a boost from local funding. The city council just gave USC's street medicine program $1 million to expand their partnership with the city. And a county street medicine fleet launched during the pandemic is becoming permanent. They now have 60 full-time staff members and 4 trucks. Medical Director Absalon Galat says the new reimbursement rules help fuel the expansion.
It did allow us to dream of a little bit more for our program. Envisioning of what the ideal should be.
Of course, anyone in street medicine will tell you the best thing you can do for the health of someone experiencing homelessness is to get them housed. And Brett Finn from USC says it's important for that housing to accommodate medical issues they might still face.
There's a lot of sick people on the street. So if they need assisted living or a nursing home level care, then that has to be built for them too, with facilities that are willing to accept them.
It made a big impact on 68-year-old Geraldine Barnes. She was unhoused for 30 years before she got a room at a newly opened supportive housing site for seniors in South LA.
Well, this is my bathroom, my bedroom, my closet, my kitchen, and my living room.
When she arrived, she was in bad shape, suffering from severe arthritis and other ailments.
Got tired. Tired and tired. Just tired. Walking and, you know, not eating well, lose weight. I lost a lot of weight. You know, and then I got in the shelter, I lost more weight because the food in there was nasty. Processed food.
Her new apartment has special accommodations for mobility issues. And the food is better, too, because she cooks it herself.
I cook beans and neck bones. I cook. Now that I got the food to cook, I can eat every day. Every day, you don't have to be hungry no more.
These days, Barnes mostly spends her time watching TV and relaxing. She says it's helped her body heal.
Now, yes, now I'm very good. I'm not in pain as much, you know, and I'm more happier here, you know, and I'm just grateful right now.
Because at the end of the day, there is one thing that 10 out of 10 doctors agree on. You can really only be so healthy when you don't have a roof over your head. For KCRW, I'm Zoe Matthew.
Just ahead on GLA, new rules in LA over how you will cook in your new home. Do you prefer cooking with gas, which has environmental repercussions, or have you converted to electric, which isn't quite as flexible, or at least hasn't been in the past? You're going to hear about it on the other side of this.